Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 37, that is the chapter on the dry bones that God breathes life back into them. Ezekiel 37, and we're going to call our teaching today, Can These Bones Live? Lord God, You Know. Can these bones live? Lord God, You know. And we're basing this from Ezekiel 37 and verse 3. I'm sure you know this chapter well. You've read it many times. There are a lot of sermons on this particular chapter. But I want to just bring out and highlight verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, You know. And again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones. Here God is speaking to Ezekiel the prophet. How do we know that this man is truly a prophet of God? He gives the clue in verse 4. Again, he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He's hearing from God. He's having revelation, which prophets have. And he answers when God speaks to him, Can these bones live? And so he answers before the Lord, O Lord God, You know. He is looking to God who provides every answer, everything with regard to what he's going to do. He in no way is trying to get his mind, his intellect. He's not trying to converse with God. Well, Lord, you know, it's dry bones. It's just a skeleton. I can't see anything that can come out of this. You know, it's impossible, but I'm sure, you know, it can with you, which is probably the sort of thing that we would think and talk and discuss on. He does none of this. He is a man who has learnt to wait on God and keep his mouth shut. And he hears God speak. He sees a vision of what God is going to do in the last days. And he simply says, Lord, you know. In other words, he's saying, with man this is impossible, but with God it is possible. And this is why many times we do not receive from the Lord, because our minds, our logic get in the way. And this is why God can't reveal to you some of the deeper things that he wants to, because he knows you will not understand. You understand everything when you come in that humility before him. Lord, you know. I know nothing unless it is divinely revealed. I know I stress this on and off in my preaching and teaching, but this is the key to how you learn with Almighty God. It is how our Lord and Savior walked, by that same principle. He revealed, and the disciples could see this because they were asking questions. I know nothing unless the Father reveals. He spoke that what he saw, what was revealed. And that is divine revelation. You cannot understand the word of God unless God opens your ears and eyes and heart. You will always interpret it in the carnal, in the flesh. And we have myriads of religious books written by men with carnal minds trying to understand the spiritual. And you never will. Because this book, above every other book in the world that's ever written, this book is supernatural. It is a preserved divine revelation. And it has been preserved these thousands of years, unlike other books. It is God's word breathed out to us. And your life has to conform to Almighty God in which to begin to understand. And this is why the Holy Spirit comes to illumine our minds. And it will only happen to those who are truly born again of the Spirit from above. Then they begin to understand. That's why he says in 1 John 10, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. Many do not hear the shepherd's voice. And that is why they're deceived by so many voices speaking in the world, deceiving, dividing. But God is always one step ahead. And so we have before us a corpse, no flesh, just bones, lifeless, dead. And the question is that's raised, can God do anything with these bones? Can these bones live? And the prophet says, Lord God, you know. He can say that confidently because he knows with God all things are possible. And that is what God wants you to know, that with God all things are possible. And when you get that from your head to your heart, it shuts you up before him. It stops all this silly talk, trying to act my faith, trying to believe. As I say so often, God hasn't called you to try. He's called you to be, to stand before him. He has given you the robes of righteousness. He has placed us in his divine presence. It's a work of grace. Chosen we are from the foundation of the world. And the only way we know if we're chosen is by the way we react and act to the word of God and believe it and stand upon it and let God do his work in and through us. As I say so often, we are the ones that get in the way. And that is why he presents the cross, as Jesus did to the multitude. If anyone wishes to follow me, then take up your cross daily and follow. The denial of the self life. Few preach that today. And we wonder why we have the divisions, heresies, cults that we have. All growing more and more. God will always bring us back to the foot of the cross, which is level for all, Greek, Jew, Gentile. So can these bones live? Lord God, you know. Can a sinner be turned into a saint? That's always one of the big questions. Can a sinner be right? You see, we must never assume that more prayer, more reading of the word, going to every meeting is going to be easier for us. It's easy to do those things than to trust God and to walk by faith. Now, I'm not saying that we do not read the word. We pray, we meet together. Of course we do. But that is the result of our faith and relationship in God. It just automatically stems from that. It's not the other way round, because if it is, then you are religious and you think that your works are going to save you. They don't. We have many who call themselves Christians who are bound by this principle that I have to do something to show that I am the Lord's and that I belong to Him, totally failing to understand that your calling, your salvation is the will of God. And you will know if you hear His voice, because you will respond and you will act in accordance. And that is, you will be wherever the Lord is. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You will want to be in the midst of your Lord. You will want to be around together with others who are called by God. It's that fellowship that we have with Him and each other. That unity, that oneness. There is something that compels, that leads you and guides you. For I know, I hear, this is the great shepherd speaking to me. I identify with it. We might not always understand and get every jot and tittle right always, because learning is a growth. But we know the foundation is right. We know that we hear the Spirit speaking. That's what he addresses to the seven churches in Revelation. Let he who has an ear, let them hear. That is paramount. It's hearing by the Spirit in the heart. You don't get this in the soul, in the flesh. This comes by the Spirit, you see, when we hear. We don't always understand our calling at first. We don't always fully understand what's happening, what's taking place in our heart. But we are aware that there is a power beyond me that's moving me in that direction. And I know that it's right. And I know I want more of it. You can't explain it. It's very difficult to explain our walk with God. And I don't try to. I just allow the fruit of the Spirit, our life, my consecration, to do its work. You see, people are watching us, brothers and sisters. You may not be aware of that, but they are watching. They're watching our movements. They're watching what we do, what we say. They don't read their Bibles, but they're reading us. It's those demons in them that watch, because they're being convicted. Those demons in them become agitated, because we walk in the light as He is in the light. And that light exposes darkness. And it exposes that darkness in people. And it will start in your family. It can start in your marriage, with your children, your cousins, your uncles, whatever it is. It's that light that's placed in you. And they are watching. Because those demons there are agitated. And that is why we can pray for our family, our loved ones, and stand upon the word of God. And don't get in the way when God is beginning to move with your loved one. Stand back and just let God do what he has to do. Even if it means that they're dying on their deathbed. Do not get in the way of the Holy Spirit working with a soul to save them. We don't save them. God saves them. And our interfering could stop your child, your husband, your wife from entering into the kingdom of God. And you don't want to hear that when you stand before the Lord. What he wants from us is our faith to believe, to confess, to line up with God's word, and he will do the rest. And all he asks of you is to live that righteous life before them, because they will see the fruit. They will see Christ in you. We make it complicated. We get in the way. We compromise with them. We're not to. You say to me, oh, but if I stand firm, I know what my son will do. I know exactly what he'll do. He'll just go off. He won't want to see me anymore or the family. Yes, he will. That's the devil's lie. That's logic trying to get in the way. Fear. No, no, no. God works differently to that. If we line up with God's word, his promises, God is faithful. Yes, if it means they may separate for a season, they'll be back. They'll be back. Trust me. Because God has a way of making our loved ones as miserable and as unhappy as they can be. God does it. He's a master. Why? Because he has spoken to these dry, dead bones. That's why he is the God of miracles, wonders. Hold in there. Believe for your family. Confess them before God. And you watch. The same with anything. We believe against all odds. Every step of faith you take, there is always a mountain in front of you, defying your faith, your confession. Exactly what is going on here with Ezekiel. But what does Ezekiel say? Oh no, this is impossible. This can't be done. Not at all. He says, with you, Lord, all things are possible. And that's why God was able to use him as a prophet to speak to these dry bones. And the result of his speaking, we are seeing today, restoration. Israel being restored as a nation. Christ now being restored head over his church, his body. He's called us out of bondage, religion, doctrines of men, to come together alive, to be baptized, filled with the Spirit, in unity and oneness in his presence. Why? Because this man believed and spoke the word. And here it is recorded in Scripture. We got to deal with our doubts, our unbelief, and see it as sin, and confess it, bring it out in the light before God. It's much easier to do something, to be busy, than to trust God and walk by faith. Do we really believe that God will do in me what he cannot do? In the natural, that is. Well, here it is. Here's the promise. Verse 12 of Ezekiel 37. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Happening. Before our eyes now, times of restoration, because the coming of the Lord is near. The kingdoms of this age are being shaken. Everything is being shaken now. The heavens and the earth. You don't need a proof text to see it, to hear it. Even the unregenerate are saying things aren't like they used to be. He's shaking because these bones are coming alive, restoring. God is on the move. And the enemy's right there to try and trick and deceive. And this is why he's being exposed. The powers of darkness are exposing now. He's desperate. And this is why we're seeing such corruption, such perversion. Governments corrupt. People, children, rebellion. Family life under threat. It just goes on. These are all clear signs now that the powers of darkness are being closed in, cornered by the light of Jesus Christ who's soon to come. We are in the end times. Make no bones about it. And the only last thing that the enemy can do is to use this technology, this AI, to control man, the world. That's all he's got now. And it's happening. And it will be instrumental and brought in with the mark of the beast, Revelation 13. That is a clear sign and indication will be presented to the world, because the Spirit of God, the angels will speak out at that time. And everyone will know, trust me, that they take that mark, they are selling their soul to the devil and will be eternally damned. And all will know. I don't know how God will do it, but he will do it. We already know. There are many people know. You've only got to read on social media. Many of them know about it. How do they know? Because the Spirit of God is preparing. He is speaking. He's going to bring this world and everyone in it. He's going to bring them to a place where they will choose to follow God or the God of this world and sell their soul. Why is God doing this? Because he says, my spirit will not always strive with man. And most of your religious spiritual leaders, they're in denial. They're compromising in their pulpits. But God has a way. Because these dry bones are living again. Hallelujah. Your grave, my grave, has been open. In my flesh, there is nothing good. But in my flesh, God has chosen to dwell in me and you, that we are living, walking tabernacles, purchased with a price, revealing the fruit of the Spirit through us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's opened the graves. He's spoken life to you and me. And he has said, live. Oh, I'm so grateful. We will cast our crowns down before him in such gratitude that he first loved us. For there was nothing within us that appealed to him. But that is the infinite love and grace and mercy of Almighty God. And that is why we stand together in true unity, oneness and fellowship. Because of that, his peculiar treasure set apart unto him. What did he see in you, in me? Nothing. He chose to love us. That is the divine will and decree of God, and nothing will change that. He is sovereign. But don't look for it in your flesh, for this is a spiritual work that God is doing. What does he say in Romans 7 and verse 18? Romans 7 and verse 18. But no, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. And there he is. He has settled the sentence with regard to his flesh. There is nothing good in my flesh. Dead bones. And that is why God continually reveals what human nature, flesh, cannot do apart from his grace and mercy. We're nothing. And that's why he calls us to be honest, to be open, to be humble before him, and to bow that knee. One of the greatest problems amongst professing Christendom is this pride, this spiritual pride. What does God say in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 13 to 20? Isaiah chapter 1, verses 13 to 20. This is what Isaiah is being called to as a prophet. He's calling Israel to humble. God's people are to bow the knee because they're arrogant. They're stiff-necked. They perished in the wilderness because of their rebellion. And what does he say here in chapter 1, verse 13? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination in me. For new moons and Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. There we are. Isn't that prophetic to Israel at this present time? What is happening in the Middle East? But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What did Jesus say to Peter, to the servant's slave? When they came for Jesus to take him away, Peter lobbed off his ear with the sword. And what did Jesus say? A Jew to another Jew. If you pick up the sword, you will die by the sword. That is God's heart against war, slaughter, warring. That's what he says. Whether you're a Jew, a Greek, slave, bond free, whatever, that principle is for all. God hates war and wars. Because nothing comes out of it but heartbreak, murder, slaughter. And yet man tries to glory in it. Because it's power, control, recognition. And our wicked leaders are led by those principles. Opposite to Almighty God's heart. And that is why we pray, we intercede. That is why we pray for Israel. because of the huge mistakes that she is making. Because she's unregenerate, like the rest of the world. But soon, a remnant will see, and their eyes will be opened, and they will see the one whom they had pierced. Why? It's because of these bones that are coming alive and living. Well, as I bring this to a conclusion, let's just look at some areas that we can think about with regard to our life. We know well in this assembly that we are to walk by faith. That is the principle of the deeper life. That God, slowly in his mercy and grace, is edging us away, cutting away in our lives where we're depending on this world, depending on man, depending on the spirit of this age. In other words, it's the motive. It's where my heart is. That is what he does. Our heart should always be to yield to God, to trust him, to stand upon these promises. That should be the motivation of our hearts, because that is what pleases him. If in a small way, that is what I give back to him for his mercy in saving me, a wretched sinner that I am. We do everything unto the Lord. I could not walk in this ministry. This ministry that God has given to me would have ended years ago if I had not kept that principle in my heart, that what he has done for me, this is my way of giving back to him, to help bring his sheep into the fold. I do everything unto him for his glory. My faith, my steps of faith, my standing upon the word of God when everything is against me, that should be the motive. And when you get that motive, then you don't strive any longer with faith. You're not listening to the devil, what he says, well, if you trust God in this, you know what's going to happen. No, all of that begins to disappear, because all you're hearing is God. You are in his presence. He's shielding you. He's protecting you. He's giving his angels charge over you. He's guarding your mind. He's leading your footsteps. That's what he's doing. And that's why some of you are battling, because you're trying to do it. And you are not experiencing the divine protection. You're not experiencing Psalm 91. That's the walk of faith. If you want to understand it, read Psalm 91. And then when you trust him like that, you know he will provide. You know he will pay those bills. You know he will put a meal on your table. Even though everything is just going up all the time. And it's not going to stop. I think, to a certain extent, God is allowing, with these end times, everything now escalating, everything going out of control price-wise, and it is, and it isn't going to get any easier. God is permitting and allowing this for the overcomers to trust him and to believe that he will provide. Can these bones live? Lord, you know. Can the Lord provide for you? Lord, you know. And leave it there. And just walk in covenant relationship with him. And he will do the rest. And he does. How do you get through? How do you get through these trials? I do not know. I look back in my life, how did I get through this? How was I able to endure in that trial? What made me continue to look to God, to continue coming, fellowship, listening to the word? I do not know. But God knows. Why? Because he has spoken life and these bones are living. I'm no longer held in the grave. When you are trying to walk this faith walk, you'll find that you care too much. And that's always the problem. When you walk by faith, you don't care. All you care about is your eyes and heart fixed upon Jesus, the author finisher of my faith. That's all that matters. God has never called us to live beyond our means. He's never called us to do that. But he's called us and said, I will provide for this day. I have given you the manna for this day. Eat of it and live. And that's how we're to walk. He's not called us to plan our future, our lives and everything, but take it day by day. That's how he's called us, brothers and sisters. And that is the rest that we have by faith, Hebrews 4. The same as our Heavenly Father created the world, spoke the world into being. For 6 days he worked, and on the seventh he rested, and he saw the labour of his work, and he rested in it. And we now have that rest in Christ, for he has now done that work at Calvary. He has taken everything upon the cross. It's nailed, it's finished, it's done. And our life is identified with that cross. And where there is the cross, there is death. And where there is death, there is resurrection. And our resurrected life is our rest that we have by faith in him, trusting him, walking each day, just looking to the Lord, walking in covenant and relationship with him. Can these bones live? Lord God, you know.